welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from the golden age of radio. Mark Levonier, your host for this hour of science fiction. Later on, we'll hear the story Knock on Dimension X. But right now, it's the tale of the Invisible Ape on Suspense, a CBS broadcast from late in the series years, from June 8, 1958.
Theater of thrills, the master of mystery and adventure, William N. Robeson.
For hundreds of years, they have been called poltergeists, which means noisy ghosts. They move furniture, they break dishes and bottles, they thump on walls, shatter windows, and sometimes even bite. And they are not the figment of the imagination of ignorant medieval villagers. During the past few months, poltergeists, or something, have plagued the lives of American citizens in Clayton, California, Rest Haven, Illinois, and Nassau County, New York. While we are learning much about satellites flying through space, we know absolutely nothing about crockery flying across our kitchens. One of Suspense's favorite writers, Michael Frost, has pondered this mystery and come up with a solution, his solution at least, which is, well, listen.
And now, The Invisible Ape, starring Larry Parks. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
I figured it out today, Pat.
Figured what?
About what's happening at the Jameson house. Them bottles jumping off shelves and all.
The water chaser?
Yeah. I figure the whole Jameson family's been hypnotized, that's what. Hypnotized, all of them. Well, first today. Cheers.
Cheers.
Pat?
Yeah, what is it?
Look at that bottle. No, down there, at the end of the bar.
Saints preserve us. Floating down from the shelf.
And there's nobody in this bar but us two.
Hey, I'm Joe Taylor. You know me, the lab technician.
Let me out of here!
I work at the Optical Foundation up the street. I'm Dr. Bernstein's assistant. They can't see me, so they won't listen to me. Nobody will listen. Maybe you'll listen to me. Will you listen, Kitty? Oh, thank you. You see, it's all my fault. Kitty, yesterday, I let that stupid chimpanzee get away. Janice was typing a progress report when I got to the lab this morning. Good morning, Janice. Good
morning, Joe. Dr. Bernstein said for you to check the white mice first thing this morning. Joe, stop that. You know I hate being sneaked up on. Don't ever do it again.
Well, you never minded my kissing you before. What's wrong, Jan?
Nothing.
I called you last night. Your mother said you were out.
I was.
Who with?
Robert.
Champagne and caviar?
He asked me to marry him.
And?
I told him I'd think it over for a couple of days.
Think it over? But we're engaged.
Oh, who are we kidding, Joe? Let's face it, you can't even afford a ring.
Suppose I could get you a ring. Any ring you wanted. Anything you wanted.
I'm $53 a week take home.
No, listen, Jen. Stop that typing and listen. I've given this a lot of thought. I've been thinking about it ever since we first treated those mice and then Chico. Jen, do you realize what it would mean to be invisible? Like Chico, wherever he is?
You mean treat yourself? Make yourself invisible?
Why not? Then I could do anything I want. Take anything I want and nobody would be able to see me.
Give me the shivers.
Think what it would mean if I was invisible. Engagement ring, the biggest diamond I could find. Money, I could steal all we could spend. Janice, I could run the world.
Joe, you're out of your head. And we don't even know if it works. On people, anyway.
Flesh is flesh and bones are bones. It worked on the mice and it worked on that stupid ape. It'll work on me.
What about Dr. Bernstein?
I'll buy him off. With the money I can lift, I'll be able to buy anybody off.
Oh, no, Joe. Not Dr. Bernstein. You couldn't buy him off.
We'll see about that.
Oh, good morning, Joe. Good morning, Janice.
Good morning, Doctor.
You checked the mice, Joe?
No, sir. I just got in.
Oh, well, let's take a look. Yeah. Seemed to be all right. Well, except this little character. Come here, Buster. Now, let's see. Specimen 438, male. 20 Renkins to the point of transparency, 30 Renkins to return to visibility. He's pretty sick from something, isn't he? Well, we'll keep an eye on him. Any word on Chico?
No, sir. I'm awfully sorry about that, Doctor, about him getting away. It was my fault.
Could have happened to anybody, Joe. You're dealing with an almost human intelligence when you handle chimpanzees. You give one an advantage, like we gave Chico. You can't be blamed if he gets away. But you know, Joe, I couldn't sleep last night.
Why not, Doctor?
Oh, I kept thinking about what's happening out at the Jameson house. I've come to the conclusion that it's Chico.
Oh, Doctor, it couldn't be.
No, I'm sure of it. Anything new happen out there last night?
I don't know. I haven't seen the morning paper.
Well, let's try the radio. The news ought to be on.
But, Doctor, if Chico's out there, somebody would have stumbled over him by now.
Not necessarily. Remember, he can see, Joe. He sees somebody coming towards him. He moves out of the... Oh.
Well, another puzzling night for detectives staked out at George Jameson's house on Carlisle Avenue.
Huh?
Detective Murdoch reports that last night he saw a bottle of cough medicine jump from a medicine cabinet and crash into the sink. Now, this is nothing new lately in the Jameson house, but this bottle wasn't broken. And when the detective picked it up, it was warm to the touch.
Uh-huh.
And so the mystery deepens. Well, that's all on the local news front.
All right. That does it. I'm going to have to make it public.
But, Doctor, we still don't know for sure.
Of course we do. Remember how Chico loved cough medicine? Janice.
Yes, sir?
I want to dictate a press release.
I knew he meant it. I knew I had to move. Quick. I carry a .38 in the glove compartment of my car. I slipped out and got it. When I came back, the doctor was still dictating.
The mice were exposed to a radioactive isotope. Their cell structure was modified to permit their organs and bones to transmit light, like a bottle of water or a chunk of glass, rather than reflect light as the body surface of an ordinary mouse or ape or human being will do. The mice were brought back to opaqueness by a reverse process. But before the chimpanzee cells could be returned to normal, it escaped. Yeah. All right, Jan, you type that up right away and let me see it.
Hmm? Yes, Doctor.
I'm going to go across the street for a couple of minutes.
Where have you been, Joe? You look like you've just run a mile.
I went out to the car. I got this.
Gun.
That's right. In case he won't go along with it. First, I have to get that ape before somebody else finds out about him.
What are you doing?
Stripping. I want you to handle the control board. You remember the procedure? Same as Chico.
No, I won't stay here while you undress. What kind of a girl do you think I am?
But it's for you. It's for us, Jan.
No, it's wrong. I don't want any part of it.
Okay. All right, I'll do it myself. I put the gun in a drawer, then I moved the reactor table closer to the control board. I climbed up on it and began to turn the knobs. I didn't feel a thing except for a little tingling up and down my spine. Not a thing. Let's see, 75 Rentgens for 5 seconds. 1, 2... 3, 4, 5. Then I was afraid to look. I forced my eyes from the dials toward my feet. Knowing what to expect, I still could hardly believe what I saw or didn't see. It was like I wasn't there. I looked down at my legs, where my legs should have been. All I could see was the white enamel of the reactor table. I ran to the mirror in the washroom. If I wasn't there at all, I've done it. I've done it. I'm invisible. summer day, but walking along Main Street toward Jameson's house without any clothes on had me shivering plenty. The first woman I met, I wanted to cut and run, but she looked right through me. I was as invisible as a glass in a store window. But when I saw the cop outside Jameson's place, I stopped cold. He was staring right at me. Had something gone wrong? No. Now his eyes traveled past me. I turned around. He'd been staring at a doll across the street. The door of the Jameson house was open. I went in. Mr. Jameson, who runs the local men's furnishing store, looked kind of tired and rumpled. They were shooting newsreels, and he was facing a battery of lights.
Okay, Mr. Jameson. Camera. Sound.
This morning, it happened again. I was helping Mrs. Jameson with the breakfast dishes, and suddenly a dish sailed off the sink and crashed against the wall. My wife and I
crossed in front of the camera, and the cameraman never even batted an eye. I went into the bathroom and looked in the medicine cabinet. I found a bottle of cough medicine and put it in the middle of the floor. In a minute, I heard something breathing. There was no one in the room, no one I could see. Backed up next to the door and watched the bottle. Suddenly, it popped into the air and tilted. As the cap began to screw itself off, I moved toward it. Then I grabbed for the air around it. I felt a furry arm. Come on, Chico. Come on, you idiot.
What is that? In the bathroom.
Let's go, Chico. Hand in hand, invisible as a couple of ghosts, Chico and I went back to the lab. Janice was still out, but the doctor was there. He jumped when he heard me close the door.
What's that?
It's me, Doc. Me and Chico.
Joe. Joe, you didn't.
Yeah, Doc, I did.
Why, Joe, why?
To catch Chico, for one thing, so he couldn't see me coming.
Well, what difference did it make? He wasn't hurting anybody. They'd have caught him sooner or later.
I had another reason, Doc.
What was it, Joe?
I wanted to try it out, this transparency. I wanted to see how it would work on a human being.
And now that you know it works?
I've got plans, Doc. We might as well get that straight. I've got plans.
I thought it might be something like that. What plans?
Plans to cash in on this. Doc, I'm tired of working for peanuts. You ought to be, too. I can't buy decent clothes. I can't get a ring for the girl I love. We've developed something here that's worth money.
Oh.
There isn't a bank. There isn't a jewelry store. There isn't a mint that's proof against an invisible man. The sky's the limit, Doc. You handle the equipment. I'll take the risks.
I see. And if I won't go along with you?
There's always this, Doc.
A gun. Well, what are you going to do with it?
Well, first we're going to take Chico out in the woods and shoot him just so he won't give us away.
Oh, why not just bring him back to opaqueness?
Why bother? Why strain the equipment? We're going to need it.
Joe, have you thought how it would be if you were invisible the rest of your life? If you couldn't come back?
What do you mean, couldn't come back?
Well, suppose we can't reverse the process. Suppose we can't bring you back to an opaque state.
Don't be silly. We brought back the mice.
Safely?
Well, they're all right, aren't they?
Take a look.
We're all right.
Take a look, Joe.
We were all right this morning. Oh, no. No, Doc. Half of them are dead.
That's right, Joe. Too many Rentkins. It takes too many Rentkins for a two-way trip. Now, do you still want to shoot Chico?
No. No, we've got to try to bring him back. We've got to try. We've got to see.
Put him on the table, Joe.
We managed to get Chico onto the reactor table and to strap him down. And I stood back, afraid of taking any more radiation while the doctor turned up the pile.
Okay, 85 Rentkins ought to do it. Time check. Mark. 1, 2, 3.
Before my eyes, Chico slowly materialized. Like looking at someone through foggy glasses at first. Like a picture out of focus, I couldn't be sure that I was seeing right. And then suddenly, there he was. There he was, just like before. Ugly little chimp like any other. But he just lay there. An ugly little chimp like any other, except
is dead, Joe.
No. No. No! I found myself walking up Main Street, passing people I'd known for years, wanting to grab them by the arm and talk to them. Tell them, just explain to them that I was really here, that I was still alive. I stood outside Carter's jewelry store looking at the diamond rings in the window. At least this was one thing worthwhile taking. When I walked in, I must have triggered a little bell into the mat. Carter looked up from the newspaper he was reading at the counter. He stared right through me for a second, frowning. Then he shrugged and went back to his paper. Janice had liked a ring in the case next to him. I moved round him, slid it open. I found the ring and lifted it. Carter didn't even budge. Then I started back to the lab. Jan was alone in the lab. I walked up behind her and put the ring on her desk. Jan?
Joe! I told you never to sneak up on me. Where are you?
Right here beside you.
No, no. Stay away from me.
See, Jan...
Go away.
I got your ring, the one you wanted.
Stay away. Stay away from me. I don't want it. Keep away from me.
She picked up the ring and threw it across the lab. Then she ran screaming out of the room. I picked up the ring and sat for a long time at her desk. Then I heard Dr. Bernstein come in.
Joe? Are you in here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Joe, I called Professor Wilson at the AEC and I told him what you did. He thinks if we expose you to tiny doses once a week over a long period of time, we'll be able to bring you back to visibility.
But how long? How long, Doctor?
At least 5 years, Joe.
5 years.
It's better than forever.
I wandered down Main Street again, put Carter's ring back in his case, then I went by Pat's tavern. More than anything in the world, I wanted to drink. Pat was shining glasses, talking to some guy at the end of the bar. I didn't see any way to get a drink except to swipe one, so I reached up on the shelf and grabbed a bottle.
I figured it out today, Pat.
Figured what?
About what's happened out at the Jameson house. Them bottles jumping off shelves and all. I figure the whole family's hypnotized, all of them. Well, first today. Cheers.
Cheers.
Pat?
Yeah, what is it?
Look at that bottle. No, down there at the end of the bar.
It seems preservous. It's floating down from the shelf.
Let me out of here.
Hey, I'm Joe Taylor. You know me. They won't listen to me. They won't even listen. Here, kitty, 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 kitty. Oh, you listen, won't you? Nice, kitty. You see, it was all my fault. Yesterday, I...
Suspense. In which Larry Parks starred in William N. Robeson's production of The Invisible Ape by Michael Frost. Supporting Larry Parks in The Invisible Ape were Ellen Morgan, Lawrence Dobkin, Sam Pierce, Byron Kane, and Jack Moyles. Listen. Listen again next week when we return with another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Suspense on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS broadcast from June 8, 1958. You're listening to an hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now a story from Frederick Brown, featured on Dimension X. In the vein of L. Ron Hubbard in many ways, this man's career was prolific, to say the least, insofar as he wrote mysteries, science fiction, and worked in other genres, producing novels, short stories, collections, and even had several of his works adapted for film. He even wrote an episode of Star Trek and had one of his stories adapted for Alfred Hitchcock Presents in the 1950s. Frederick Brown was once quoted as saying, "There are no rules. You can write a story, if you wish, with no conflict, no suspense, no beginning, middle, or end. Of course, you have to be regarded as a genius to get away with it. And that's the hardest part, convincing everybody you're a genius." Now we'll hear his story, Knock, which was featured on the Dimension X series for its fifth broadcast, heard on May 6th, 1950, on NBC.
Adventures in time and space, told in future tense. Dimension X. Can you predict the future? Can you tell what will happen in 100 years? Or in 10? Or in the next minute? Can you look beyond the known dimensions of time and space into the unknown, Dimension X? Tonight we have a strange story to tell. A sweet, blood-curdling little story that is really only two sentences long. The last man on Earth sat alone in a room. There was a knock on the door. Think it over. Suppose you were the last man alive on Earth, in the universe for that matter. The last man sitting alone in a room, and suddenly there was a knock on the door. What knocked on the door? You wonder, don't you? Your mind, faced with the unknown, supplies something vaguely horrible. But it isn't horrible, really. You'll see. The last man on Earth sat alone in a room. There was a knock on the door.
Hmm? What? Oh, what's that?
Good morning, man.
What? Who are you?
You have regained consciousness.
Well, who are you?
I am Azan.
Maybe if I close my eyes, it'll go away.
I will not go away, man.
No, I guess I am awake. Who? What are you?
I am Azan.
Well, what's that?
Azan is intelligent life.
Well, I don't... What happened? Where are you from?
From Planet 7 in the third galaxy in the fourth quadrant.
Where?
It is not necessary to repeat information which is correct in the original statement.
Planet 7? You mean I'm not on Earth?
You are still on your planet.
Well, then what are you doing here?
The Zans have annexed your world.
You mean you've conquered Earth?
Yes, that is correct. We will now prepare your planet for habitation by the Zan.
Well, how about the people?
There is no longer any use for large numbers of lower life forms. Therefore, we have dispensed with them.
Dispensed with? You mean you've... When did all this happen?
2 days ago. You have been unconscious until now.
You really mean I'm the last man on Earth?
That is correct. Identify yourself now.
What?
Kindly provide data as to your position in the elementary social order of your planet.
I'm Walter Phelan, Associate Professor of Anthropology at Nathan University. How is it you speak English?
We have deciphered your written and recorded records. It is not difficult to reconstruct your language. It is a primary type of auditory communication.
Oh.
Is there anything you want to complete your natural habitat?
You mean I'm a prisoner?
That is correct. What will you want further in your room?
Well, do I have to stay here?
Yes.
The rest of my life?
Forever.
Then you better bring in my books. I gotta call you something. Do you mind if I call you, George?
It is immaterial.
All right, then, George. You know, I can't really believe this.
That is a characteristic of low-life form.
I'm trying to take this in without going off balance completely.
I will be back, Associate Professor of Anthropology.
It's all right, George. Just call me Walter.
Very well, Walter. I will be back with your books.
All right, George. I'll be seeing you around.
You will not be around, Walter. You will be here.
Yes, the last man on Earth sat alone in a room. A rather peculiar room. He just noticed how peculiar it was.
and he'd been studying out the reason for its peculiarity. His conclusion didn't horrify him, but it annoyed him. There was a knock on the door.
Come in. Oh, hello, George.
Hello, Walter.
What can I do for you?
Point one, you will please henceforth sit with your chair pointed the other way.
I thought so. That plain wall is different from the other sides, isn't it?
That is correct. It is transparent.
That's what I thought. I'm in a zoo. Right?
That is correct.
I knew it. And if I persist in sitting with my back to it, what then? You'll kill me, I ask, hopefully?
No, we will not kill you.
It's too bad. George, I'll face the bars and perform for the people. I mean for the Zans. How many other animals do you have here in the zoo, George?
216. A male and female each of 108 kinds.
Male and female of... of all the animals?
There is a female of your species among the collection.
Anyone I know? Never mind. It doesn't matter anyway. Well, George, you started out with point one. I suppose there's a point two kicking around somewhere. What is it?
Something we do not understand. Two of the other animals sleep and do not wake. They are cold. What is wrong with them, Walter?
Well, they must be dead.
Dead? That means stopped. But nothing stopped them. Each was alone.
Sure, they just died.
But I have told you they were alone. Nothing stopped them.
George, do you mean to tell me that you don't know what natural death is?
Death is when a being is killed, stopped from living.
Maybe these animals just died of old age.
Old age? I do not understand.
George, how old are you?
Your planet went around the sun about 7,000 times since I was born.
What? 7,000 years?
Yes, I'm still young.
Now look, George, you've got something to learn about this planet you've hijacked. Here on Earth, we've got somebody that's a stranger where you come from. Down here, our people and animals live until the Grim Reaper stops them.
This Grim Reaper stopped the two animals?
That's right.
He will stop more?
Oh, he gets us all, George.
This is a new factor we have not considered.
But you can consider it. Because when the Grim Reaper gets through, there won't be very much left of your zoo.
You mean he will stop more animals soon?
Well, with your lifespan, it won't seem like a minute, and we'll all be gone. Oh, it looks like you made a mistake, George. I don't think there's very much you can do about it.
That is not correct. The Zan is a logical being. We will take action.
Taking me, George.
We will be there shortly.
You mean, it's moving day?
That is correct. We are here now. You will live here now, Walter. It is a larger room.
Well, be it ever so humble.
Go inside.
Hey, be careful with those books, George. Don't lose. Excuse me.
Who are you? What are you doing here?
Well, I guess George didn't explain. George tries to be polite, but he hasn't quite caught on yet. I'm Walter Phelan.
My name is Grace Evans, Mr. Phelan. What is all this about? Why did they bring me here?
I think I know why.
Why?
You see, I've been talking to George.
George?
Well, that's what I call them, all of them. There's no way to tell them apart anyway. There aren't many of them here yet. They come from outside the solar system, sort of an advanced scouting party.
Yes, I saw their spaceship. It's as big as a mountain.
They're moving in on us. They cleaned off the Earth with some kind of vibration that destroys all sorts of animal life. They killed everybody.
Oh, no. I was afraid.
Well, the cheerful note is that you and I and 200-odd other animals were picked up beforehand as specimens for the zoo. You know that this is a zoo, don't you?
Yes. I suspected it. But I don't remember anything about being captured. I just woke up here.
Well, they solved a lot of problems for us. Housing shortages. Wars. I don't suppose the human race, you and I, that is, have to worry about anything now.
It's awful.
Only they made one mistake. They overestimated us.
I don't understand.
They thought we were immortal.
That we were what?
Immortal, like they are. Oh, they can be killed.
The Zons don't know what natural death is. They didn't know anyway until they lost two of us yesterday.
You mean there are more than two of us?
No, no, no more of our species. These were merely brother animals. A rabbit and a canary. And by the Zons' way of figuring time, the rest of us are only good for a few minutes apiece anyway. That's a joke on them. They figured they had permanent specimens here in their zoo.
But didn't they know that we'd all die eventually?
No, I don't think so. See, George told me he was 7,000 years old and he's supposed to be young. When they learned how quickly we die, well, they were probably shocked to the core. If they have core.
How can you talk that way about it?
Academic detachment. I learned it at faculty teas. At any rate, they've decided to reorganize their zoo. Two by two.
Oh.
Sure, they figure we'll last longer collectively, if not individually.
But if they think... That is, if you think for 1 minute...
No, don't worry. I don't.
But are they going to keep us locked up together in this one little room?
I'm afraid so.
It's horrible.
I agree with you perfectly, my dear. But all personal considerations aside, the least favor we can do the human race is to let it end with us. I don't see much point in continuing it just for an exhibition in a zoo.
How can you just sit here and lecture?
Habit.
But we've got to do something.
Why?
I don't know. It just seems we owe it to the human race to do something.
You got a suggestion?
There must be some way. They can be killed, you said.
I think that anything that would kill one of us would kill one of them. You see, I figured it out, I think. George cut his... Well, I suppose you'd call it his hand, when he brought in my books. It started to bleed, red blood, but I could see the cut closing just as he stood there. And by the time he left, it was healed.
Don't understand.
Don't you see? Whatever factor there is in man that makes him grow old is missing in the Zon. They just go on and on and on until... Well, until they're stopped.
Yes. But suppose we killed one. There must be some way.
Well, but what would be the use? They wouldn't even punish us. They'd just give us our food through a trap door and put a sign out saying, "Beware of the man, dangerous."
I don't think they'd have to bother in your case. I don't see anything funny.
I'm sorry. This reminds me of Martha.
Martha?
My wife. She died 2 years ago.
I'm sorry.
Ah, not at all. Oh, that'll be George with my books. Come in. Hello. George?
Hello, Walter. Point one, I have brought your books.
Point one, hmm? Well, what else is on your mind?
Point two, another creature sleeps and will not wake. A small feathered one called a duck.
It happens, George. I warned you. Old man death, the grim reaper. I told you all about him.
Walter, the Council of Zon has met. It has been decided logically that the only intelligent life to escape the vibration is you. Therefore, the logical conclusion is... You are stopping these animals by some means unknown to us.
George, you're off your trolley.
You will tell me now how this is done.
You boys afraid you're going to lose the whole zoo?
It is necessary to save the remaining specimens as long as possible. If we do not get information, we may be forced to dispense with your species entirely.
Now, wait a minute.
This means you, Walter, and the female.
Now, wait a minute, George. Don't go off half-cocked. Let me take a look at these animals that won't wake up.
I will take you there now. Go first, Walter.
After you, my dear George.
This is the weasel.
You should have got him in the winter, George. The fur's worth more than it's an ermine.
This is the reptile cage. Here are the ducks. This is the male. The female has been stopped.
Lucky girl. What's the matter, fella? You lonely down there?
Walter, you will tell me how you stopped the female duck.
You got me, George. I didn't do it. Maybe she died of the Dutch elm blight.
Walter, you are not being logical. We have concluded you are stopping these animals. Tell us how it is done.
I told you, George, I haven't the foggiest notion.
Very well. We will have to take further action.
Well, what are you going to do, George?
We have methods of action you will know soon. We will go back now to your room.
What happened, Mr. Phelan?
You can call me Walter. After all, George does, and
We have more in common.
Oh, please, what happened?
Just a dead doc. George thinks I killed her by remote control. He thinks I'm holding out on him.
Good.
What?
Well, at least we can get back at them. At least we can do something to them.
Well, why? After all, George isn't a bad fellow, if you like an ant mentality.
How can you say that? They've wiped out the whole human race. They've murdered everybody.
I suppose they have, but we can't change that now, so why think about it?
Well, we can't just sit here and do nothing.
I fail to see how we can do anything else.
Oh, of all the men in the world they had to pick, don't you want to fight back? Don't you want to keep on fighting until the end?
It hadn't occurred to me.
But we've got to, Walter.
Why?
Well, I can't really explain, but Walter, if there was any good in man at all, it was that he kept on struggling against nature and in the end even against himself. But at least he kept on fighting for what he thought was right, and we're all that's left. Walter, we just can't end it by giving up. We've got to keep on fighting.
You know, you do remind me of Martha.
Oh, look, there isn't much left for us, but we could beat them in this one small thing. We can pretend that there's a secret about death, and we could refuse to tell them anything.
But there isn't anything to tell.
Well, they don't know that. Promise me you won't give in.
I suppose the worst they can do is to kill us.
Oh, Walter.
All right, Miss Evans. Hello, George.
Hello, Walter. Now, you will tell us how these animals are stopped?
George, this may come as a great shock to you. But I've decided not to tell you.
Why?
Well, call it a romantic attachment to lost causes. My grandfather was a Confederate officer.
Walter, you are not being logical. But that is expected in lower life forms. You will come with me now, Walter.
Where are you taking him?
To the second level. Come now, Walter.
You won't tell them.
I can't guarantee anything, but as of now, I don't intend to.
We've got to fight. Remember that, Walter. We've got to go out fighting.
I think you're right.
Come now, Walter.
Goodbye.
It's been a pleasure, Sevens.
I am waiting. Come now, Walter.
After you, my dear George.
Will tell us now, Walter. That was the first level of vibration. There are many more. However, we have calculated that none of them exceed your threshold of unconsciousness.
Oh, very clever, George.
Of course. You will tell us now, how do you stop these animals? You will tell us now?
As of now, no. However, I'm not very brave, if that encourages you, George.
You are not being logical, Walter.
You're telling me.
We will now use vibration level 2. You will tell us now?
You know, George, I can't figure it out myself, but I'm stubborn. Maybe it has something to do about the dignity of man, the civilization such as it was that you wiped out.
I do not understand.
I didn't think you would. So go ahead. Vibrate.
Vibration level 2. It will be very painful, Walter. Walter, you are still conscious.
Let me alone, George.
You will tell us now. You will tell us how you stopped the animals.
Let me alone.
We have had vibration levels 1 through 10. There are still 15 more before your threshold of unconsciousness.
Oh, no, let me alone.
Walter, listen to me. Another creature sleeps and will not wake. We must know now.
That's tough. You better start vibrating again, George.
No.
What?
It would not be logical. We have calculated that no further level of vibration will overcome your irrational psychological block. We conclude you will not tell.
You mean you're going to let me go?
That is correct.
That's real nice of you, George. I appreciate it.
We have calculated that the resistance of the female of your species will be lower. We will now place her under the vibrations.
Oh, no, George, you can't do that.
Why not, Walter? It is the logical plan.
No, she couldn't take it.
Yes, that is what we expect. Therefore, we will go and bring the woman here.
No, now listen to me, George. There is no secret. Do you understand that? There's no secret. Those animals died from natural causes. And I'm telling you the truth.
That is not a logical answer. We will get the woman.
Well, I've told you the truth. Can't you understand?
We must know now. The female animal cage next to the duck has been stopped. We must preserve the survivor.
The animal next to the duck?
We will bring the woman here. She will tell us after the vibration.
No, no, listen, George. George, do you want the truth? You want to know how to save the mates of the animals that have been stopped?
You will tell us now?
Yes, yes, I'll tell you. Take me to that stopped animal, and I'll tell you how to save its mate.
Very well, Walter. You are being logical now. We will go.
Walter, are you all right?
Yeah, just let me catch my breath a minute.
What happened?
Well, after a while, I told them what they wanted to know.
You didn't?
Sure, as George pointed out, it seemed to be the logical thing at the time.
You gave up?
I suppose you can call it that. Look, I'm very bad. Something might turn up, Martha.
Well, but they've beaten us completely, then. There isn't anything we can do to the human race. And we give up. We don't even die fighting. You call me?
Hmm? Oh, I must have said Martha. I'm sorry.
The Council of the Zon has met.
Something wrong? She was my wife. She died 2 years ago. What were you saying?
Nothing. Nothing. It doesn't matter. It's too late. Too late. The whole...
What now, George?
Zon has been stopped.
What?
Zon is dead?
That is correct.
You didn't believe me, George. But you can die. You can really die. You'll have to get used to that if you're going to stay here.
The council has decided. A, you have in some way stopped this Zon. B, you and the woman must be eliminated.
Walter.
You got it wrong, George. I didn't stop that Zon. It's just death. It gets all of us here.
You will be eliminated now.
But, George, it won't do any good to kill us. It won't save you. Everything that lives on Earth must die.
That is not logical.
But it's true.
The council has decided. This time, you will have the full vibration.
This time? Walter, what did they do to you?
They have a rather effective third degree.
They tortured you, Walter?
Yes, yes.
And I... Walter, it was all my fault.
I wouldn't even have tried without you. I suppose we have a last chance now to end with some dignity.
I think you're a very brave man.
Well, there isn't much else to do. Do we go now, George?
Now, Walter.
Wait, what's that?
I have been told another Zon has died.
Now will you believe me?
The Council of the Zon meets now.
Two gone already, and you were with me, George. You know I didn't kill this one.
What stopped him then?
I told you, it's old man death. You came to the wrong planet, George. Your immortality doesn't go down here. He can stop you, but you can't stop him. And you'll all die if you stick around. And now what?
The Council has decided this is a place of death. We will leave your planet.
Leave? You mean you're giving up?
It is not safe for the Zon.
Walter, they're leaving. They're really going.
Go on then, George, and don't hurry back.
It would not be logical to do so. We are leaving the Earth now. Goodbye, Walter.
Goodbye, George.
So wonderful to feel the wind and the sun again.
Close the hatches.
Walter, is it safe for us to be out here?
Sure, they're not interested in us any longer. They only want to get away. And I want to see this grace, the Zon leaving Earth forever. Now they're blasting off.
There they go.
Yes, it's over now. Well, I suppose we might as well go back in.
I still don't understand, Walter. What made them go?
I just told them the facts of life.
Of death, you mean?
No, of life. After all, I thought George was old enough to know at 7,000 years he was getting to be a pretty big boy.
I wish you'd stop joking and tell me what happened.
Look out for the step. Well... Do you remember when the first animals died?
Yes, the rabbit and the canary.
Mm-hmm, and their mates just started to pine and waste away.
Yes.
Well, that worried the Tsar. They wanted to keep the last specimens alive if they could. So finally I broke down and told them about affection.
Affection?
Mm-hmm. And then I introduced Donald.
Donald? Who's that?
Here we are.
Oh.
Come here. Grace, I want you to meet Donald.
Oh, Walter, please. What does affection have to do with it?
Well, that's what the Tsar wanted to know. I told him it was love that made the world go round, that having lost his mate, Donald would die immediately unless he had affection and constant petting.
Petting?
Mm-hmm. I even showed him how. Come here, fella. Come here. Come here. Yes, I held Donald in my arms and petted him a while, and then I let the Tsar take over with the animal in the next cage.
What animal?
Take a look. Hey, watch out. Don't go
Walter,
close.
It's a rattlesnake.
Yes, it's a rattlesnake. The Tsar's metabolism made it impossible for them to die of old age, but I had a hunch they could be poisoned.
And it was the snake that killed the two Tsar.
They never even knew what bit them.
Then you outwitted them, Walter.
I suppose.
And I thought you'd just given up. Oh, Walter, I'm so proud of you.
You don't have to be. I had given up. I probably wouldn't have fought at all if you hadn't pushed me.
Well.
Well. We've got a world to plan, a whole new world, Grace.
I know.
We'll have to decide which animals to let out of the zoo and which ones would be safer to keep in. But first, there's a much bigger problem.
What's that?
The human race.
Oh.
Yeah, we've got to make a decision about that. It's a pretty important one.
Yes. But...
It hasn't been a bad race. Of course, it may go backward for a while until it gets its breath, but... Well, we can save the books and all the most important things and get it started ahead once more.
Please, Walter.
It's the Garden of Eden.
Oh, don't be
ridiculous. All over again.
Don't be ridiculous, Walter.
Funny. Even blush like Martha. Only you're stronger than she was. And prettier, too.
I wish you'd forget about Martha.
I think I will, my dear, if you'll only give me a little time.
Now, Walter Phelan, you listen to me. If you think for one minute that we...
Why, I thought it would never happen to me again. But it is love that makes the world go round. And so, Grace, if you could only...
I wouldn't marry you if you were the last man on Earth.
But that's exactly what I am.
I don't care. I don't even want to talk about it. I'm going out.
Well, all right, my dear, but think it over and please come back.
You see, I told you. It wasn't really so horrible, our story. Remember how it goes. The last man on Earth sat alone in a room. And then, there was a knock on the door.
Come in.
Oh, come in. Come in. My dear.
You see, it wasn't horrible at all.
I've just heard the Frederick Brown story entitled Knock, an adventure in time, space, and the unknown world of the future. The world of
Dimension X.
Now, about next week. Next week we tell the story of a robot, but a robot that was almost human.
Tonight's adventure in Dimension X was adapted for radio by Ernest Canoy. Arnold Moss was heard as Walter Phelan, Louis Van Ruten as the Tsar, and Joan Alexander as Grace Evans. Your narrator was Norman Rose. Music by Albert Berman, engineer Bill Chambers. Dimension X is produced by Van Woodward and directed by Edward King. Tomorrow, hear Sam Spade. Now it's Truth or Consequences on NBC.
Dimension X, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 6th of May, 1950, their fifth broadcast for NBC. And that wraps up this hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.